Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Getaway Friday, Friday, November 4th, 2022. First Friday in the month of November, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. And we are joined in studio by the legend himself, legendary restaurateur. And you know, it's interesting. We were talking about politics in hour number one. He took a run for office here in town. At one point. Didn't you, George? George Kasotis is the guest this morning.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you very much.
Now, when, I remember you and Martha Dowse both at one point or another ran for city council, wasn't it?
Right.
Now, what drove you to run for city council? Now, this was many, many years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Probably 50s, 60s.
Yeah. So why did you decide to do that? What drove it?
People kept asking us, because Marty and I grew up together. You knew that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about from 9, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, we grew up together. And we were always, if we weren't at the palace doing a show, we were downtown on the corner promoting Marion. And so people kept asking us, why don't you guys run for city council and get and do things for the city? So we both ran.
Well, you know, I always thought it would have been tough for you and Martha to win public office because you both ran businesses.
Yeah, we both ran businesses.
And running for public office takes a lot of time, but you guys had to run your businesses as well.
That's another reason why I didn't want to run, but they talked us into it. Talked us both into it. But after that, we always refused. They asked us after that, too, and probably in the 60s. I don't know about the 70s, but the 60s, they asked us in the 50s and then in the 60s, but we said, hey, I was doing too many caterings, you know. I catered a lot of weddings.
And so now, George, what do you think at 90? Maybe you'll run again?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Why not? You know, I'll tell you, it's interesting. Our president, he's getting close to 80. Or yep. Is he 80 now? He's up there.
79, I think. 78 or 79.
And our governor, he's late 70s.
Yeah.
So why not 90? Who cares?
That's right. I never thought about that.
I bet you would be, George. You would go down in the annals, maybe all across the country, the oldest politician ever. You know, you could get one of those city council jobs because that, you know, it's not full time. You wouldn't have to waste all your time doing
right.
That. Why not?
Why not?
Think about it. It'd be fun. I always tell Mary Ellen, and I know she doesn't want to run for anything again because she's done it, but Mary Ellen, at her age right now, and I'm not going to say her age, but at her age, she could do just as good a job as she ever did.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I'll tell you, she could knock off some of these people.
Mind, spirit, and she's got it.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I bet she would still win because people like her.
That's right.
And people like you, so they'd vote for you, too.
Oh, right. Within, it doesn't matter whether you're an R or a D. They would just vote for you.
No, and what ward do you live in, George?
Sixth ward.
You could win.
Oh, yeah.
Why not? Maybe you could just run for mayor, because I don't know.
Well, if Scott wins, I think I'll run for mayor.
What? Run for mayor, George. Talk to Jack Kellogg and run for mayor.
Right.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Well, Jack's my buddy.
You know, I was talking to Mary Ellen the other day about Jack Kellogg, and yeah, he's a Republican, but Jack Kellogg is one of the most down-to-earth, nice men you'll ever want to meet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anybody who has a bad thing to say about Jack Kellogg never met him.
Right.
I just like the guy. And I know your wife ran against him at one point.
Oh, that was a long time
ago. But they made up, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, they never was at each other. They were both in office at the city hall. My wife was city treasurer, and Jack was mayor. And she came home one day and said, "George, I'm going to run against Jack. This is his fourth term." And I said, "Why would you do that? Jack's my friend." I said, "I don't want you to run against Jack." She said, "George, you know Joanne Scott. She's pretty set in her ways. She ran against him. Pretty close.
Pretty close race, absolutely."
Oh, I still have the headline paper in Marion Star, both of them. Can Kasotis knock off Jack Kellhunker?
Well, and you know, to talk about your wife, Joanne, who's our county auditor, you know, she was very progressive for women as well in her day in the political arena.
Oh, wow.
Ran for mayor. Now, this is back in, what, late 90s? Early 2000s?
No, 90s.
And that she's been auditor. So she's, you know, right out there.
She was city treasurer for, what, 3 or 4 terms.
Right, and we look at people like Nan Whaley, you know, being the first woman to ever get the nomination by a big party for governor.
Right.
But, you know, we've had people, Mary Ellen, Mrs. Kasotis, of course.
Right.
So, you know, it's happened.
It happens.
It does happen. So, yeah, I don't know. But I don't know why people are hung up on age. That was my point I was going to make. They're always talking about Biden's age. They're talking about DeWine's age. Who cares? If you've got your mind and you can do the job, who cares how old you are?
It's an age.
Yeah, it's an age. You might still have stuff you want to do. So who knows? But, I do want to mention, we did hook up the speakers. I know we got a call there for George. Two calls in the first hour, and he couldn't hear because we didn't have the headphones. That was my fault. We didn't have the headphones hooked up. But we do have the speakers running now, so if you want to call in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have a question, comment, just want to say hello to George, you can do that now. The speakers are working as near as I can tell at this point. 740-383-9944. And if you just tuned in, we want to mention the fruitcake toss December 15th, 7 p.m. And George is going to enter this in a way. He's going to be out of town on this date. But sometime before he leaves town, he'll come by, he'll toss a fruitcake, and we'll rope off how far he tossed that, and we'll mark that down as his fruitcake toss. How far do you think he can toss one of those fruitcakes? You have to do it underhanded. And you have to do it, you walk up to a line, no run, and you underhand toss it.
Oh, underhand, you can't overhand.
Can't overhand it.
Oh.
Gotta underhand.
I wasn't sure. I'm pretty good at throwing it overhand.
Yeah,
I don't know
about
underhand.
Now, you played some sports, didn't you, George?
I played football for Harding. I played basketball for Harding.
So you could launch this thing, really, if we could do it. Here comes a call. Let's hope this works so George can hear you. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you doing?
Doing well. George, can you hear him okay?
Yes.
All right, go ahead. George can hear you.
Yeah, good. This is Bob in Columbus, and I've been enjoying your program the last hour or so. I mean, actually all day, all week even. But it occurs to me that if George is going to be at the studio on Thanksgiving Eve, then we should also have a piece of fighting for him as well.
Oh, okay. Well, this is interesting, George. This is Bob Welsh. From the pizza.
The pizza.
Yeah. Now, he said if you're able to come in for the pumpkin pie pizza on the day before. I should let people know this. I haven't said this on the air, I don't think. But now, what's the club called, Bob, that I'm in right now?
The Upper Crust Society.
Upper Crust Society. And I have a plaque at home. What I did was I signed a pizza crust. You were here for that, weren't you, George?
Yeah,
George was here. And then Bob took this crust home, and it's at his house, shellacked. And at my house, I have a picture of me signing that crust, and it's a very nice plaque. Now, this year, Mary Ellen Withrow is joining the Upper Crust Society. She can't come here that day, obviously, because of her injury, but I did talk to her, and she said that day when Bob's in town, he'll go wherever she is and have her sign the crust, and then he'll make a plaque for her, and then hopefully she'll be able to come fruitcake toss night, and we'll present that plaque to her. And he's just said, George Kasotis is a legend. Why not have, if you're here the day before Thanksgiving, would you like to join the Crust Society, George, and get...
Why not?
There you go, Bob. Bob, he's willing to do it. It's going to be a big deal now, Bob.
Yeah, and I foresee sometime in the future of one of the rooms there at the studio just being filled with fine pizza crust.
Well, we're going to have to, because George and Mary Ellen are joining this hallowed hall on November 23rd. Now, Bob, what do you think the turnaround is going to be? We sign these on November 23rd, and when do you think the plaque should be ready to go? Because we'll get a presentation date for both George and Mary Ellen.
Well, I was definitely thinking, you know, the fruitcake toss. I mean, that was my plan initially with Mary Ellen. We could certainly, I mean, George will be out of town, but maybe we could do something on his birthday when he comes back, what'd you say, in March?
Yeah, that works. I tell you what, so Mary Ellen, Mary Ellen, if we can, if she's able to travel here, not to toss a fruitcake, but just to show up that night, we'll do the presentation and give Mary Ellen her plaque. And if George happens to be in town that night, he'll stop by. And if not, we'll do it at a later date. But we'll get George his thing. Now, Bob, tell us a little bit about the pumpkin pie pizza, which is, what now, 2.5 weeks away. It's coming. George is going to be here, and we're going to have Linda and Glenn.
Well, it's going to be very delicious, actually.
Delicious.
It's going to be on, you know, homemade pizza crust, of course, with roasted pumpkin, sweet pumpkin, not your ordinary jack-o'-lantern pumpkin, but a sweet pumpkin, and some pistachio nut crush. Hopefully nobody has a nut allergy, but there will be a little bit of pistachio, crushed pistachio nut in there as well. I'm probably going to butcher this because I'm not very good with the French cheeses, but it'll be a Gruyere cheese.
Oh, that's interesting. Gruyere?
Who could pronounce all these things? George probably could.
Yeah, George will. And he's going to bring a little dish that day. Little compliment to the pumpkin pie pizza. Now, Bob, this is more a dessert than a main course, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's good. Now,
but some people have dessert for the main course as well.
They certainly do.
It's all a matter of timing.
Now, do we need the microwave up and running that morning? Because, you know, I like my pumpkin pie a little warm with a dollop of whipped cream on it.
Well, if that's the way you like it, then you might need to nuke it a little bit there.
Nuke it
a
now.
Because otherwise it'll be more of a, it'll be chilled at that point.
Chill. Now, the other question.
Bake it the night before.
Now the fruitcake pizza, Bob, is coming along. Now, how's that working? Because that, to me, sounds dangerous. We've got the fruitcake Mountain Dew and the fruitcakes that we're going to toss, and now the fruitcake pizza. That's going to be historic. Well, hey, maybe the day we get that in here, George could come in and get his plaque.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the trouble we have with that is, you know, you have to soak all that fruit and rum, and it usually doesn't make it to the batter.
That is going to be a sight to behold, I'll tell you what. Well, Bob, George is in, so we're going to have a big holiday season coming up here in a few weeks.
Yes.
And how's the plaque coming for the fruitcake toss?
Actually, my son is he's in the 3D printing, and he's going to 3D print a fruitcake for the plaque.
3D?
And so it's good. Like I said, the plaque is going to be something worth winning.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, thanks for calling in, and I'll see you on the 23rd.
All right.
Bye-bye. Well, man alive, George, the holidays are going to be big this year.
Wow.
You and Mary Ellen joining the Upper Crust Club.
The Upper Crust Society.
The Upper Crust Society.
Wow.
Right. Me, you, and Mary Ellen. We'll all have to go out to dinner sometime.
Right.
Yeah. Upper Crust. We'll all have to go out and get a pizza. I wonder if Mary Ellen's listening.
We did that one time. We did that one time when we were at that yellow building with the old hospital in the back.
Oh, yeah.
We had a Christmas show. Oh. And after the Christmas show, we went to dinner.
With Bob Hope,
and we went to Dakota Steakhouse.
We did. And you paid for that, George.
Yeah,
you were very good of you.
I treated you that night.
You did, and it was very pricey. It was steak. Yeah, there was a bunch of us, too. There was Bob Hope and his traveling companion, Chuck Carson.
Yeah.
And there was you, and there was me. And I had somebody there, a guest, and I didn't know you were going to... That was very nice of you, George.
Yeah, it was Mary Ellen was there, wasn't she?
I don't remember if Mary Ellen was there or not, but she should have been.
I think she was.
She was at the... I know she was at the Christmas special.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we had Santa Claus, and Ted Williams was there, I think.
Ted was there.
Yeah, we had a whole bunch of people there. Well, George, you used to be at the doorman at... Dakota Grill.
I did that for 2 years.
With the tuxedo.
After I was in like 208. Was that 208 when I 208 when I sold the restaurant to Marcella?
So now, how did that come about?
How did what come about?
Come about being the greeter at Dakota Grill?
Because I sold my restaurant, and I was at the restaurant having lunch one day after I sold my restaurant, and then the manager came over and said, Mr. Severus is back in the back booth, and he would like to talk to you. He's the owner. He's over in, has another Dakota Steakhouse over in near Mansfield. Anyway, I went back and talked to him, and he said, I would like you to come and work in my kitchen with my kitchen manager and show her some of your tricks, that you've been in the business much longer than I have been. I said, no, not now. Well, anyway, 2 weeks later, he calls me, and I go out there, and he hired me, and I went to work in the kitchen for a year. I worked in the kitchen for a year with his...
you were in the kitchen at one point?
At Dakota Steakhouse.
Oh, I did not know that.
With April. April was the kitchen manager. And now she's the general manager.
She moved up.
April's the general manager now. Anyway, I did that for a year, and I started to walk out the door, and he grabbed me, and he said, no. He said, you go home and put your tuxedo on. Come back. I have never had a maitre d'. I would like you to be my maitre d', because you know everybody in Marion. So I said, okay, I'll try it. So I put on a tuxedo and a flower and everything, and I'm at the door greeting people, right? People are coming in the door seeing me in a tuxedo with a fresh flower and a hanky and everything, and they're saying, Steve, how are you? And I said, I better not say anything, because if I say I'm not Steve, they're going to say, oh, why not?
Yeah.
I look like the owner, the manager, the whole thing, you know? I was the whole...
Yeah, the whole well, and you know what? And I believe, George, and I've asked you to do this before when we've done television and pictures and things, to wear the tuxedo, because you remind me of those great guys like Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. Yeah, they always wore tuxedos.
Yes.
And that's why you look good in a tuxedo.
What was it? Dean Martin...
Well, maybe day before Thanksgiving, if you're up that morning, you just put your tuxedo on, because we'll be taking pictures for the Upper Crust Society.
Right, and I have a tuxedo on.
There you go. This is going to be big before Thanksgiving.
You called me one time and said, get over here, put your tuxedo on, and get over here. And I came over here, and you had Mary Ellen and Ted Strickland.
That's right.
And Mary Ellen and Ted Strickland and I, and you, and then that went on Facebook, and then it went on international, and there was a couple from Chicago saw that.
Well,
that I know these people. They were used to be in, and they called me and said, we saw you with the governor of Ohio and then the treasurer of the United States and Scott Spears.
Well, that's what I say. I say, George, get your tuxedo and come on over. And because it that was three legends right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You had Mary Ellen Withrow, who's just done it all.
Yeah.
Paved the way for women. You had the former governor of Ohio, Ted Strickland, one of the few Democratic governors we had. Good guy.
Yeah.
You, all that thing you've done in the restaurant business and been around and done it all and tuxedoed up. It was a big night.
It was a big night.
Those are always fun.
That was right here in this studio.
That was right here. We did that right in the other room.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it got around.
It did.
Because you know what the problem is, George? People don't know how to dress anymore.
That's right.
People dress, you know, they look, I don't know what, they look like they just, you know, fell off the wagon to Hee-Haw.
Right.
People don't like that. But why don't people dress up anymore? I like to see a nice dressed up person.
You've got clothes. Nice clothes. Why don't you wear them?
Right. I'm not saying that you have to go out and buy a million dollar whatever. If you can't afford it, I understand. But if you have, you know, just put on a coat. Everybody should have a sports coat.
Oh, yeah.
Every man should have a sports coat.
Right.
And every woman should have, I don't know if it's a dress. What happened to dresses, George? Nobody wears them anymore.
No.
Wonder why? What happened?
What is it with this dress thing?
I know. They did away with that. Well, again, if you want to call and ask George a question, that was good. Bob Welsh calling in. And that was from Columbus. We're getting calls from Columbus this morning.
Oh, boy.
740-383-9944. George can hear you now. The system is working. 740-383-9944 if you have a question or anything you want to talk about. George, I want to get back to the stories here in a second, but I wanted to bring this up because we're talking fruitcake here. Mountain Dew released it's a flavor this week. Fruit Quake Mountain Dew. Tastes like fruitcake. Isn't that disgusting? I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
What's it called again?
Fruit Quake.
Fruit Quake.
Fruit Quake Mountain Dew, and it tastes like fruitcake. Drink it. Blech. That's awful.
Fruit Quake.
Fruit Quake Mountain Dew. And it's a big seller, apparently.
Oh, wow.
I know. What will they think of next? Fruit Quake Mountain Dew. Ugh. Anyway, do you think that's going to... I mean, it's selling okay, but why?
I don't get it either.
No. I mean, we don't need... I mean, I don't think the fruitcakes are flying off the shelves all that fast. I don't know that we need a way to drink... Do you like Mountain Dew, George? Do you like soda?
No. I don't drink soda, Pop.
Now, what's your favorite beverage? We talked about your favorite food.
My favorite beverage?
Favorite beverage.
Lemonade.
That's a good one.
Oh, I love lemonade.
Put a little dash of olive oil in there, and you're good to go. All right, give us another story, George.
Again, the last hour we were on it, we talked about Washington, D.C., the Arlington Cemetery, and all the beautiful things in Washington. One just before I get into another area where we were at, the last thing I want to tell you is that on Pennsylvania Avenue, there's a hotel, a beautiful hotel, that's been there for many, many, many years. It's called the Willard. Have you ever heard of the Willard?
I have heard of the Willard.
Have you?
I've never been there, but I've heard of it. They have a lot of parties there.
Oh, yeah. It's like a three-story hotel, and the front of it is like a block long. It's widened out. You know, it's spread out like an arc, and it's all white, and it looks like it's brand new, but it's been there way back. And the one person that campaigned there, and he lived there for 3 months, was Abraham Lincoln.
At the Willard?
At the Willard.
Wow.
He campaigned for presidency, and that was where he stayed for 3 months. And they talked in the lobby all of the 3 months that he was there with all of these important people. And I can name you a half a dozen of them, but that's not necessary. The point was that he lobbied in that lobby of the Willard Hotel, and that's where the word lobbyist came from.
Really?
The lobbyist.
So now, Abraham Lincoln campaigned from the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C.
On Pennsylvania Avenue.
Pennsylvania Avenue, and because he lobbied, he used to campaign in the lobby of the Willard Hotel. Okay. That's how we got the term lobbyist.
Yeah.
Well, that's very... So, but a lobbyist now is somebody who wants something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, he was making deals in the lobby of the Willard Hotel. Well, how about that? That's even more fascinating than the 21-gun salute.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
That is very interesting.
That Abraham Lincoln, our great... He's always like number one or number two on the greatest presidents of all time. But he actually started the lobbyist.
Did you? The Columbus Dispatch had a whole article on Lincoln just here last week. I kept it, and it tells you the memorial, how it was built, out of all of the marbles of the world, and especially the marbles of America, from all the different states: the pink marble, the white marble, the yellow marble. That building was built, and that article was in the Columbus Dispatch. It was unbelievable. I used that in one of my speeches over to Primrose. When I talked to those people over there, I told them about Abraham and his ventures. I told them about the Willard Hotel where he lobbied. And for 3 months, he stayed there for 3 months while he lobbied. It's amazing.
You know, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I heard, though, that President Trump said that Abraham Lincoln stayed at the Trump Hotel there in Washington.
Well, not when he was lobbying. When he was lobbying, he stayed at the Willard.
He was at the Willard. You know, the Willard...
What hotel did you say that...
The Trump Hotel they have there. You know, it used to be the post office.
That didn't happen.
Didn't happen?
That didn't happen.
Well, maybe he was having some fun. But I'll tell you, it's interesting, though. We learned in hour number one from George as well that Nan Whaley is going to be down at McKinley Park, because we need to spread the word now, because I would feel bad if she comes to town and nobody shows up.
At 3 o'clock at
McKinley Park. Nan Whaley, the gubernatorial candidate, Tuesday, is going to be down at the park here. Linda Sims has joined us here in about, 3 hours from now? 3 o'clock at the McKinley Park over across from the hospital. Yeah, but nobody, we don't know this, George. This is horrible. Tragedy.
Okay, we did the Washington story. Now I got to tell you that a couple weeks later, there was a... we went to Williamsburg, Virginia, another historical city in this country that is unbelievable. Because if you go to Williamsburg, Virginia, there's a university there that's one of the oldest universities in America. The College of William and Mary was chartered in 1693. In an Anglican college, to the end, the Church of Virginia was there. It's there. In the 18th century, long before Horace Mann and the great public school movement, education was not easily come by in the colonies. Although the average enrollment at William and Mary was less than 100 during the 18th century, the college exerted great influence on the intellectual life of Virginia and produced an extraordinary number of distinguished alumni, including Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, John Marshall. 4 of the first 10 presidents of the United States were associated with the college. George Washington was 11 years was the chancellor of William and Mary University. Would you
George believe? Washington.
George Washington, our first president.
Wow. Who,
and Thomas Jefferson graduated from William and Mary.
And Dennis would have been after his presidency?
Before his presidency.
Oh, George Washington was a chancellor.
Yeah.
At
William and Mary. Have you ever heard of William and Mary?
I've heard of the school. I think it's still there, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
It's one of the most beautiful schools I've ever seen. All beautiful serpentine brick. The sidewalks, the buildings, are all, and they look new. And it was chartered in 1693.
1693. My goodness.
And it's still there today, and it's full of thousands of young students.
That's fascinating.
Very expensive. Most all of the students' parents are millionaires.
They would have to be. They would have to be. I do want to let people know Linda Sims is with us here, and Linda will be with us through 1 o'clock this afternoon. And I don't know. It's on my mind now that Nan Whaley's coming to town.
I know. It's hard to believe. Huh?
It is. It's hard to believe because I would assume she's coming so people will see her. Because Election Day is Tuesday, but this is the first I heard of it, and it's not anywhere, and I don't want her to come to I don't want Marion to have a bad showing, you know?
I understand. So
how do we get people there, George? We only have 3 hours.
Well, we're telling them right now, whoever's listening, why don't you get over there at 3 o'clock?
Right. Now, you're going.
I'm going. I'm going to be there.
Now, what are you going to say to Nan Whaley?
Nan, I don't know if you can win this election, but I want you to, I would like to see you as in there, as some fresh blood and some young minds, you know, It's not that I dislike Mike, but Mike's been around a long time. Let's have some new blood in there and get some young things done.
You know? Well, that's true, and I think, you know, whether you like Nan Whaley or not, whether you're a Democrat or not, it is historic. The first woman, and she'll always be the first woman to ever win the nomination of one of the two major parties to run for governor.
Right.
So it's history. You know, they should send the kids from school down there at 3 o'clock, but they don't know. Oh.
Schools don't even know?
I don't think anybody knows. Did you know about this, Linda?
No, I'm just hearing it.
We just learned it. This is a tragedy. I just hope people turn out. I'm going to run down.
It in the Marion Star?
No.
On the news feed on Facebook?
I don't think so. No. That's horrible. Well, I wonder if Mary Ellen got an invite. I hope.
Well, she won't be able to go.
No, she won't be able to go, but I would hope that they would have invited her over to the... and we don't know if the mayor is going to be there because he's campaigning.
Don't know.
Well, whatever happens, but it's nice that she's stopping through on her way to wherever.
Right.
But DeWine was out at Tri Rivers. When was that? Last Monday?
Last
Monday. Got a little, you know, scene out there. Now, Georgia... I tell you, that Abraham Lincoln story was very interesting because he was a lobbyist. He wasn't a lobbyist, but he met with people in the lobby of the Willard Hotel, and that's where we got the term lobbyist. You always wonder where you get terms like that.
Right.
Now, George, you were here. What year did you come to Marion?
Probably
1932. But you were born in Caledonia. Right?
Yeah.
Now, why don't they have a plaque in front of your house over in Caledonia? They got that plaque in front of Harding's house over there.
They got my dad's plaque over there.
Oh, good.
He was a World War I veteran.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Jim Kasotis was a... Well, that's where he ended up, in Caledonia.
Now, where's his plaque at?
Right down on the square. It's called the square, but it's round.
I was down there last week. I had what's the pizza place down there?
Dugout.
I had Dugout Pizza last Saturday.
Oh, Doug is a beautiful guy. I love Doug.
Good pizza.
Good. The crust is the best.
And they had a whole group of people in there working, young kids. And that's what you need nowadays.
Yeah.
You need.
Yeah, Doug is retiring.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, he's retired.
That the kids are taking over.
Yeah, the kids are taking over. Well, he's taught them everything he knows. He's been in there for years making that dough. He makes that dough fresh, and then he cuts it off and puts it, and they put this, the kids put the toppings on it, and he puts it in there. He's the only one that takes it out of the oven. And every time I go over there, he says, George Kasotis, you're a legend. You and Jack Reese went to school together, first grade. Jack Reese, the name Reese's Market is still on downtown on that corner building, right across from the dugout.
Oh, I parked in front of that, yes.
Yeah, Reese's.
They have a whole lot of bottles in there.
Yeah. Well, that's Jack Reese's Market. He was the meat cutter of Caledonia back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s.
Now, what happened to him?
Jack passed away.
Oh, he's...
He was one of the Marionaires.
Oh, really? He was a singer.
You're a singer of the Marionaires.
So, is your house still over there, George?
No,
it's gone.
No, it's gone. It's right across from the Post 401, Mays Hardware. That lot, that's a parking lot now, but that's where we lived.
Now, did they have that plaque in front of Harding's home when you were a kid?
The plaque in front of Harding's home.
Yeah, it says Harding's childhood home or something like that over in...
Oh, yeah. That was there.
It's nice they have that, but I don't know if people know that that's over there.
That plaque is there. It's just before the funeral home, before the Timpson Allen funeral home.
Now, my initial question here, George, was being around Marion since 1932, President Harding died in 1923. I believe. So he would have only been dead 9 years when you came here, born. A lot of his people, like friends and so on and so forth, probably would have still been around here when you were around. Did you ever run into people who knew President Harding?
Oh, yeah.
What did they say about him? What kind of guy was he?
very sporty, very talkative, very interesting to talk to. He would always greet you, welcome you, and say, hey, it's good to see you. And he was that type of guy. He was a friendly, courteous, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
All that, right?
All the Boy Scout stuff.
He covered it all. Now you also, though, knew, Mrs. Carrie Phillips.
Carrie came into my restaurant and had lunch with, well, not with me, but she was with the manager of the Euler Phillips clothing store. There were three stories there, the clothing store. Carrie was the daughter, Carrie Phillips.
Now, how do we say this delicately? Carrie Phillips was President Harding's...
Mistress?
That's a way to... I think that's a clean way to say it.
Mistress. It.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something you could say. But yeah, she was a long-term mistress, like 20 years or something.
Right.
Now, was she a nice woman?
Wow, pretty.
Pretty woman.
You ought to have seen the outfit she had on when she walked into my restaurant. You talk about dresses. Remember you said...
Yeah, nobody wears dresses.
What happened to dresses?
Right.
She had a dress on. Wow.
Knockout. Wow.
Oh, my.
And too bad Harding wasn't there to see it.
Oh, wow.
He's probably seen enough, though.
He probably did see it in his day. He'd been around. Now, did you ever know Nan Britton?
I seen her, but I never knew her.
She was a young girl.
Yeah, I never knew her personally, but I seen her.
Now, she was... I don't know if she was born or what the story is, but she, out in Clarendon, her dad, Mr. and Mrs. Britton, I think he was a doctor, and they had a house in
Clarendon Township.
Yeah. So that's interesting too, that it all kind of shuffles in like that. So George, what do you plan for this holiday season? Thanksgiving, Christmas?
Trying to stay alive and
trying to
keeping up with, you know, taking my pills and keep walking and drinking a lot of water and all the good things that you're supposed to do when you get to be 90 years old.
Oh, my.
90 years old.
God.
Now, what day did you turn 90?
August 2nd.
August 2nd. My goodness.
So I've been there for, a few months.
Yeah. Okay. And hovering around.
Yeah, hobbling around.
But you had a relative who lived to be 100 and something?
Yeah, 107.
107.
That was my grandfather, my mother's father, Emmanuel.
All right.
Emmanuel. And he lived to be 100. He came to, my mother and her sister sent money. My mother's sister was in New Jersey. So my mother and I went to New Jersey. We had previously sent Emmanuel the money to come to America. So he came, landed in Newark Airport, right? So we drove up, and my mother and her sister, Vespina, went over to the gate, and he comes off of the plane, okay? And as he comes up, we escort him to the car. We drive back to Perthamboy, New Jersey. We get out of the car. We walk up on the porch, and Emmanuel turns around from the porch, and he goes... He says, I want to go back to Greece.
Ain't that enough?
He took three breaths.
Oh, my.
He smelled the air. And I don't know what the heck it was in New Jersey, but it could have been a smokestack. It could have been a car fumes or what. But
oh, yeah.
I don't know what it was. But he said, I want to go back to my home country.
He'd had enough. He'd had his fill. He was ready to head back. Now, George, because you did the P.S. song in the first hour. Are there any Greek songs that are popular in Greece?
Oh yeah.
Like, what's a popular Greece song?
Yorgomo, yorgo, yorgomo, get the pasto paro, ola the pamleta the any kaloso, yorgomo, yorgomo, yorgomo. Yorgomo means George.
Oh, that's good.
Yorgo in Greek is George.
So
it's a George song.
Oh.
I don't know why they came with that. Da 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 Yorgomu, Yorgomu, Yorgomu. It's a cute song, and I don't know. I just thought of that one because it's got my name in it.
Well, it's a good one. It's a good one, George. All right. Now, give us that P.S. song again for people who maybe just tuned in, because now this is
P.S.
Public school.
Oh, P.S. 117.
George went to P.S. 117 in where was it? Queens?
New York.
New York, yeah. And they had a fight song.
Yeah, P.S. 117. See, all of the schools in New York City were called P.S. Public School 117 was mine.
Okay.
Cheer, cheer for 117. We're always, always supreme, loyal sons of liberty, marching along to victory. Our standards are ever high. We will always reach towards the sky. We will always stand right by the good old PS 117.
I think all schools should have those again. They need them. Yes, it's popular. Like campaign songs.
Right. P.S. Well, they're all numbered in New York City because there's thousands of schools, and they can't come up with all these names, so they come up with numbers.
Well,
it works, right?
Well, it does work. Well, Harding had a campaign song. I think it was done by Al Jolson.
I think it was, right. And Kennedy had one by Sinatra.
Yeah.
High Hopes. We've got high hopes, high up in the sky hopes. You know, remember that?
Yeah,
one?
I remember it, yes.
Very popular songs. I think Harding was Harding's The Man for Me.
I think it was.
I think that was his song. Al Jolson did that for President Harding. So, you know, it's a lot of showbiz. But like, Nan Whaley coming to town here, does she have a campaign song?
She should have one.
It'd help. It would only help.
It would only help because that's... Oh, my goodness. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I just hope to goodness that people show up for her. Because no matter what your politics are, when a gubernatorial candidate comes to town 5 days before the election, you should say hello. If Governor DeWine came to town, you should go down there and say hello.
Right.
Why wouldn't you? This is a Jim Jordan ad I got in the mail. You see that, George?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's a Jim Jordan. He's sending out a lot of paperwork.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's, I don't know. I imagine he'll do well Tuesday. He's been elected 8 terms.
Hmm. That's a lot.
Yeah. And the lady
2-year terms or 4 years?
Two year for Congress. I don't know. But again, George said a lot of people have been voting early.
Oh, 200 a day. Since October the 12th.
That's great.
And if you think about that, you know, maybe that's that hidden vote that people have been talking about, that, you know, people want to get out and say.
Yeah, but you don't know who they voted for.
No, I don't know. And in Marion, you know, we've been very Republican for a while now.
Very Republican.
So I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to shake out on election night. If you were advising, because our mayor's running for state office, if you were advising him, he's in the last 5 days here, what would you say to him? What advice would you give to him?
The last 5 days?
Yeah.
What he should do?
Yeah. What should he be doing right now?
What else can he do but go to different public places where they're having gatherings rather than going door to door? You got to go to where there's a lot of people.
Yeah, you can't run for state office door to door.
No.
No, you got to be right in people's face.
Right where they're having. You got to check with your different communities, different villages, where there's people meeting, you know?
Well, this weekend, I imagine there'll be a lot of rallies.
Oh, there's got to be.
Because you got, I think Mike DeWine is on a bus tour today around the state, and Nan Whaley is coming through here at some point at 3 o'clock, McKinley Park.
I'm sure she's at different places from 10 o'clock this morning, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
You know what's sad about this to me? I'll tell you why this is on my mind. Is she has a good press team. And it's surprising to me that the word on this didn't get out.
I don't know.
Maybe it was a last minute thing.
Could be a last minute.
Could be last minute. But you know what? Maybe the Democratic Party will show up down there. Maybe that's who got the word.
I think so. I think she would have probably contacted the chair of the Democratic Party.
I don't think Tim Combs mentioned it when he was here last week.
No, no, no. Could be a last... I don't know.
Yeah, could have been last week.
Because she's from Dayton.
Tim has been out putting up NAND signs.
He told me that, but he didn't tell me she was going to be here. I had him on my show last week.
Well, we hope it's big today. Well, George, we got a minute left here. What advice do you have for the audience to make it to 90? And you're going to be back on 23rd for the big pumpkin pie pizza.
Is that the 23rd?
Day before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
8 a.m. until noon. We're going to have dinner here. Linda's going to be here that day, all day. Glenn Coble. Bob Welsh is coming in from Columbus with the pumpkin pie pizza. George is going to make a little something for us, right? It's going to be delicious. And going to wear a tuxedo because that day he's being thrown into the Upper Crust Society. He's going to sign a crust just like Mary Ellen is that day.
Okay.
And it's going to be wonderful. And, boy, it's going to be a big month. So what's the advice, George, on how to get to 90 years old like you and be spry and driving and having a good time?
Just show up, I guess.
Get up in the morning.
Get up in the morning and... get your breakfast and lunch. Put a little olive oil and lemon juice on there, and you'll be all right.
If it's Cheerios. Olive juice and... All right, there you go. The legendary George Kasotis. Hope you've enjoyed it. He'll be back on November 23rd for our big Thanksgiving celebration here, starting at 8 in the morning, running through 12 that afternoon. Don't miss that for Love Nor Money. Linda Sims coming up next. Thanks, George.
Thank you, Scott.
Non-alcoholic.
This has got guava berries in it in the bottom, and it's called guava berry rum.
Oh, okay.
Drinking rum and Coca-Cola.
By the way, I do want to wish a happy 95th birthday to Jane Meadows. Turned 95.
Well,
yeah,
you have to get her on
a few days ago.
You have to get her on if you get through her secretaries.
Her secretaries are difficult to get through. Once you get to Jane, you're okay. But the secretaries are
a little difficult. Force field it's around.
Force field around Jane Meadows.
Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey, hello everyone. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. You can listen to our show, The Pastor Spot, every week at 9:15 in the morning on Fridays, and you can call in if you have any questions. Maybe you need something we need to pray about. But every week we have a great discussion, and we look at the world through a biblical perspective, and we look forward to you listening to the show.
Adam the Computer Guy is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio, providing on-site and remote-based technical support, computer troubleshooting, and